Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I've been polyamorous in theory for like 5 years and polyamorous in practice for like a year on and off. I don't know, man. Who are you?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and I've been poly for forever. It's pretty much the only thing that ever made sense to me. Tried monogamy once. Dear God, it was awful.
So we're going to get into more detail about that, because today we're talking about the big wide world of non-monogamy. I started thinking about this when we had Andre Shakti on our show a few weeks ago, because like we were talking with her so much about poly, and it made me realize like we've sort of mentioned here and there our non-monogamous leanings, but we haven't really like gone into it in detail, which is weird because it's a pretty important part of how we relate to people romantically.
Yeah, and I think like we've just mentioned it in passing and kind of forgotten that like that's a weird thing for some folks.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're just like, especially in our circles, we're like, yeah, we're poly like everyone else, and that is how you do relationships, right? Like I feel like for some people that's still like an interesting different thing.
Mm-hmm.
I get that a lot when I like talk about it at my vanilla job and everything. You get like the wide eyes and the like, but how do you do that?
Yeah, I think that in our social circles and in a lot of social circles like ours, there tends to be like a privileging of non-monogamous people and especially poly people as being sort of like more evolved, and like of course you do it that way, that's the way you do it. And I think that like when people are in those circles who are more like monogamously oriented, sometimes they don't feel great because like their monogamy isn't validated by the people around them, which like, you know, monogamy is validated very widely in our culture at large, so it's a subversion, but it's interesting how that works.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to kind of fall into that trap because monogamy is the default. Mm-hmm. And poly folks are always like, yeah, but you have to be like conscious around your relationship styles, and we really think about our relationships and everything. And it's easy to think that everyone who thinks about their relationships goes to poly, and like that's not how that happens.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of people who consider their relationship styles and are monogamous. I think the problem is most of the people that are monogamous have never even thought about alternatives, and that's why it gets kind of the bad rap.
Yeah, like it's seen as something that you would choose sort of uncritically and by default, and that maybe you were forced into by our culture or by partners, and like that's not necessarily so.
Yeah, I know plenty of people who have sat down and really thought about relationship styles and decided monogamy was what worked for them, and mm-hmm. like I support, like, awesome, do yeah. that is not my life, but like have fun with it.
Yeah, it reminds me of people who have like tried a lot of kink things and have thought very critically about kink and have come to the conclusion ultimately that they're pretty vanilla. Like, I kind of really admire those people because they've done the work and they've been brave enough to try things out and to really learn things about themselves.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I feel like those are the people that I react to the same way vanilla folks react to my life. I'm always just like, wow, really? What is that like? How do you... That's so interesting, huh? You... Monogamy, really? Okay, great. No, I accept all people and all the monogamy, all right.
So how and when did you first figure out that you are a non-monogamous person?
This is a hard question to answer for me, because I think for me, nothing else ever made any sense, but I just never really had words for it.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of, like, growing up, I just had the image of, like, the dude with commitment issues, and, like, the slut and whatever, and that was the archetype that I was like, yeah, I'm that one. So, like, distinctly remember sitting in the cafeteria in high school talking to my best friend, who was proto you, now that I think of it. Very much, like, the hopeless romantic, like, very hard eyes and, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And very emotionally driven, and she would talk about how she was gonna get married and live happily ever after and all that stuff, and I was just like, great, and I'll live next door and have a bunch of different people come over whenever I just feel like fucking them. Can that be my life? Can that be, just, like, live alone and alternate through people and have, like, a whole friend group that I also have sex with?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's about 8 years later, and that's still my dream life.
So is that, like, solo poly? Like, do you think of yourself as a solo poly person?
I've been relating more and more to that, yeah. The problem is, I think solo poly is a relatively new concept,
mm-hmm.
and I don't see a whole lot of it, like... So I don't quite know how to define it yet, and I don't quite know if it fits for me, but yeah, for me, like, I know I shy away from hierarchical poly, I know that's not really my jam, and, like, I know I'm not looking for necessarily a primary, like, a one and only that I'm partnered with all the time, and then I go out and hook up with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty content with, like, prioritizing myself and my own. I have a lot of, like, drives, like, through work and, you know, my blog stuff and my education stuff and all of that, and, like, I'm very comfortable prioritizing all of that, mm-hmm. and then having a bunch of different people in my life in, like, various roles.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems to be what I get from the more I read about solo poly, but I'm still kind of exploring that a little bit. What about you? What's your background with poly look like?
Yeah, I find this so interesting to discuss with you, because I feel like we come at it from such different angles, which I'm sure we'll get into more. But I have this very distinct memory of, like, I think it was like 5 years ago or something, and I was in this relationship, which was a super long-term, super monogamous thing. My boyfriend at the time was, like, probably the most monogamously oriented person I've ever met. Like, I remember having this conversation with him one time where I just, like, offhandedly was like, you know, when you're, like, out walking and you, like, just see somebody on the street and you're like, oh, that person's hot, I would want to make out with them or fuck them or whatever. And he was very sincerely like, no, that never happens to me. Like, I've never experienced that. Like, he was, like, so focused on me that he literally did not have sexual or romantic desires or thoughts about other people, which to me at the time, like, I was very insecure, and so, like, it was a grounding thing for me to have a partner who was that into me, and that singularly devoted to me, and I was very into that, but then it proved to be a problem later in the relationship as I realized, like, actually, this intense monogamy is not really working for me. Like, I remember we went to this party together. It was a crush party, which are these, like, social mixers for sex-positive folks that used to be hosted here pretty regularly, and, it was, like, open to people who were monogamous or partnered, but, like, it was kind of more of, like, a social mixer, like, flirt with people, whatever. So I'm at this party with my boyfriend. He's, like, kind of glued to my side the whole night, and I wanted to flirt with people and wasn't allowed to, and that was the first time that I had really felt that sensation of, like, monogamy making me feel trapped, and I had this crisis. I was like, does this mean that I don't really love him anymore? Like, does this mean that I'm, like, a bad person, or I'm bad at relationships? What does this mean? And I spoke with my partner about it, and we ended up eventually coming to this compromise where I was allowed to, like, kiss and flirt with other people, but nothing else, which kind of worked, because, like, what I was missing more than, like, having sex with other people or having relationships with other people was, like, the flirtation and, like, the sense of possibility and adventure and, like, freshness. And so that sort of worked for a while, but I was also aware, like, it is super weird to only be allowed to flirt with and kiss people and then to sort of have to stop them at that point, because people are not used to having to stop at that point, and they would usually be good about it. I had a couple people who are not good about it, but they would usually accept that, but it was like at a certain point I was like, this is not enough. This is not working. So we just totally grew in different directions, and I think it really contributed to us breaking up.
Yeah, my first relationship in high school, I was talking to her, and, like, there was a whole lot of other stuff that went into the relationship, but when we finally, like, had the conversation, and we're like, oh, you know, so are we dating? Is this a thing? And the conversation was basically, so we're dating now? Yeah, yeah. We could obviously see other people, right? Oh, yeah, obviously. Okay, great. Like, that was, it was just, it was not even a weird conversation. Like, she brought it up and was like, yeah, we're dating, but, like, obviously we can still hook up with other people. And I was like, cool, good, okay. And then my, like, first major relationship after that was with my partner of, like, 6 years, which was problematic for a whole host of reasons, but it was also very monogamous, and I felt trapped, like, through most of that. Because monogamy, it just, like, yeah, I miss being able to flirt with people, and it felt weird to, it still feels weird, which is why I don't gravitate towards hierarchical poly, to just take a relationship and put walls around how it can develop. That just doesn't feel natural to me to meet someone and be like, okay, like, I can feel these things, but only these things. Or, like, we can do A, B, and C, but not D, E, and F. And, like, it feels weird to have those rules, whereas for me, it just feels more natural to let, to not, I'm gonna sound all, like, crunchy and relationship anarchy and whatever, but, like, to not have to put, like, strict labels and frameworks around what my relationships with people have to be. God, I hate myself. But,
like, no, I get it. You want to let things develop organically, but, and you want to let things, like, be what they're going to be. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like having to look at someone and be like, you know, if I were to define my relationships with most people in my life, it's like, well, this person is the person that I just have a bunch of sexual tension with, and maybe we'll resolve that someday. This person over here is a friend of mine who I've fucked on occasion. This is my best friend who I have threesomes with, but, like, don't fuck that one. But this one is, like, there aren't words for the relationships I have in my life, and, like, I'm cool with that. So it just, it always felt weird to me in monogamy that I was like, oh, wait, like, is it okay to flirt with this person? I don't know. There are rules. And, like, not to say that I don't take into account how things impact the other people who have a big role in my life. Like, there are conversations that need to be had, but it just doesn't feel natural to me to have, like, strict rules.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I actually feel like labels and roles and everything are comforting to me, and they help me feel more secure in what I'm feeling. Like, with my partner, we went through a period early in our relationship where there was some complicated poly stuff happening, and I was feeling really shaken by it, in part because I felt like our relationship wasn't secure. Like, I was just constantly worrying, like, is he going to break up with me all of a sudden? What are we to each other? Am I even important to him? So it was actually helpful for me to have the conversation with him where I was like, are we boyfriend and girlfriend? Like, and if not, like, can we be? And he was like, yes, we can be. And then we talked about, like, what that would mean and, like, how that would be different from whatever we were doing before, which was less structured. So I like those roles. I like that they help clarify things for me, but I agree that, like, sometimes they can be very limiting. And also, it's, like, not good when you have those roles in place but you don't discuss explicitly what is meant by them and what you are and are not allowed to do. Because, like, I feel like everybody has their own unique set of assumptions about, like, what does it mean if you're my girlfriend? Like, what are we agreeing to with each other? And you need to have those conversations at the outset, I think, so that you don't run into misunderstandings.
Yeah, and I think for me, labels are become more important the more important a person becomes to me. Like, if you're a big part of my life, I do like to be able to designate that. But I don't like the idea of just, like, slapping a label on it and being like, yeah, we all know what that means, right? So, like, I think the conversation is important.
Yeah.
And, like, really defining the terms for yourself. And, but at the same time, I also like having some of those more nebulous relationships in my life where I'm like, ah, that might be a thing at some point. Who knows?
I dated a guy one time. Our relationship did not last very long, and this was one of many factors that contributed to that. But we had a conversation early on where I was like, I think I'm a non-monogamous person. I don't think I want to do a monogamous relationship. How do you feel about that? And he was like, oh, totally. I'm on board with that. Non-monogamy, yes. Totally fine. So I was like, cool, great. Like, which was a very naive way to react to that, because what my reaction should have been is like, well, let's discuss what that means for both of us. Because what ended up happening was, like, I remember I'd been dating him for a few weeks, and I had had this opportunity coming up to possibly make blowjob porn with someone I was interested in. And I said to him, I thought it was just a formality, me asking him, honestly. I thought he would just say, yeah, totally. So I asked him about it. I told him about the person and about the porn we were thinking about making, and he was like, oh, yeah, like, if it's just for work, that's totally fine. And I was kind of like, there will be other dicks that are not for work, though. Like, I thought you said, what? Like, I was very confused by his reaction to this, but I shouldn't have been, because we didn't talk about it. We did not have any kind of conversation about what we meant by non-monogamous. I think it's really important to lay that out.
Yeah, definitely.
For me, the thing about monogamy that really bummed me out was the feeling that someone else had control over my body.
Yeah.
And my free will. And what I'm finding out about myself is I don't even necessarily need to go out and do the things with other people. I need to know that I can. Like, for me, the feeling of freedom is really the important thing. And, like, because I'm so introverted and so anxious and whatever, I don't always necessarily feel like getting on Tinder and, like, dating and fucking a million other people. Like, that's a lot for me. Like, even having one relationship going on is a lot for me emotionally. So I don't really need to go out and do the things. But if I think that I can't, if I think I'm not allowed to, that makes me feel horrible. Like, it makes me so angry and so resentful. And I don't want that. Like, that's not fun. That's not a good place to have a relationship from, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And that's how I feel about, like, a lot of stuff, not just within non-monogamy, within, like, rules and stuff. Like, if my relationship had a rule, like, you cannot hook up with anyone without talking to me about it first, blah, 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 that would feel weird and, like, restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like going on dates if my partner doesn't know. Like, I yeah. don't... Yeah. I don't like hooking up with people if I've never mentioned them to my... And, like, if I do, like, go to a party or something, I usually text him, like, on the way home or the next day. I'm like, hey, guess what happened? Blah, blah, blah. Like, just because I like for him to know and for that to, like, be a part of it. It feels weird and secretive if I don't.
Yes.
But also, if that was a rule, it would feel, like, really restrictive. I like to do it because it's important to me, not because I have to.
Yeah, part of my issue with my, like, super monogamous partner who, like, let me flirt with and kiss other people is that he never wanted to hear about any of it. Like, that was part of the arrangement was...
I can't do don't ask, don't tell, Polly.
Yeah, No. I can see how that would work for certain other people. And certainly, like, in my own poly explorations, I don't really like to hear details about my partner's interactions with other people romantically or sexually. And part of that for me is, like, it's actually kind of difficult and painful for me to hear those things, and maybe that'll get easier as I go along my poly journey. But that is so different from straight up don't ask, don't tell, where, like, you just omit all of the all of the facts and details of what's going on, which I found really painful in that relationship because, you know, my partner was my best friend. It felt super weird to not be telling him about these things that I was actually really excited about.
Yeah,
and it felt like I was cheating, which is not a good feeling. Like, I made me feel like a bad person, even though I was doing things I was ostensibly allowed to do.
Yeah, and, like, sometimes it can feel helpful to just go to someone that you're a little more comfortable with, who you've been with longer or whatever, and decompress about something that's very new and scary and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And it can feel grounding to, like, have that conversation with someone who you feel, like, safe with, you know? And I like having that. And I like hearing about, like, stuff going on in my partner's life. And it's sometimes it is hard, and there are certain people that, like, cause me more jealousy and anxious feels than others. But I do still like hearing about them, A, because I'm just a really fucking curious person. But B, like, let's just poke that sore spot until it calluses over.
mm-hmm.
because I'll kind of... It's humanizing of them. And we talked about this when Andre was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
How it's... Like, the more you hear about them, the easier it is to, like, oh, they're just a real people. Like, they're not, some big scary entity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially with people who are slightly similar to me in really broad overarching ways. It's very easy for me to be like, oh god, they're like me, but better.
Mm-hmm.
When someone's very different from me, I'm just like... Yeah, tell me about hanging out with them. That must be... That's cool. That's interesting. But if they're too close, I'm like, oh no, you found an upgrade. Oh dear.
Yeah. I went to see Reed Mihalko speak last week, which, oh my god, I would love to have Reed Mihalko on our show sometime if we could ever make that happen.
Yes.
But he was giving a talk about jealousy in poly relationships, which is very timely for me right now, so I was excited to be able to catch that talk. And one of the things he mentioned is that he often dates queer women, women who primarily date other women or only date other women. And he says that that helps with his, like, need to feel special, because if he's the only cis dude in their life, like, that makes him feel like he's really special. I was like, that's an interesting strategy. I'm not sure how to use that information in my life, but,
That verges very close on, like, the one penis policy shit, though.
Yeah, I mean, if it works for, like, him, then good for him, but...
Yeah, like. Knowing Reed, to me, that sounds a lot like... him taking something that happens and noticing the positive aspects of it instead of, like, actively seeking that out.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there is a lot of people in, like, the non-monogamous community who are like, yeah, totally, we can totally date other people, you know, just other women, right? Because if you bring another dick into the room, that would mess up the magic. And obviously there are women with dicks, but, you know, these people aren't thinking about that. But, yeah, and you even hear, like, straight couples saying, yeah, we can totally date other people as long as we play with other women. And, like, the woman in the straight couple is like, right, but I'm straight. And the dude's like, I think it's a perfect plan.
It is interesting to notice, like, who brings up more jealousy and possessiveness feels in you. Because, like, when you were talking about people who are similar to you, who you feel are, like, an upgrade to you, I was thinking about how often, like, the people who make me feel jealous are, like, metamors who are, like, really pretty queer femmes who are just, like, so sex positive and so cool, and I'm like, wow, you're, like, even more open-minded than I am, and you do your winged eyeliner better than I do, and you're just, like, more, like, cool and alt-looking, and you're just, like, so good at femme stuff. And I read this essay a long time ago, which I don't think is online anymore, but it was by Clementine Morrigan, who's this amazing writer, and they were writing about femme competition in poly, and, like, femmes are so encouraged by our culture to, like, compete with each other, and in particular to compete for men's attention, and we're taught to be threatened by any femme who is, like, a better femme than us, whatever the hell that means, and I'm finding that, like, poly really, really makes me have to deal with my internalized misogyny, because I will get, like, so worked up about, like, another woman for, like, being better at womaning than I am. And I'm like, we're not even in competition. Like, I have invented this competition in my mind. We are not competing for anything. This dude's attention, there's enough for both of us. Why am I acting like this? But it's just, it's such a deeply ingrained cultural idea that, like, good men are hard to find and whatever, and we have to, like, catfight over them. And, like, Polly tells you that you can release that need to compete, but it's actually really, really hard to release that in real life, for me anyway.
Yeah, I think something interesting that you bring up in that is that we all know the right ways to feel, which sometimes makes it harder. The big scary air quotes around all of that.
Yeah.
But we're both people who have been in this community for a very long time, who have been reading about Polly, who have known Polly folks. Like, we were all very, very familiar with the concept before we started really doing it in practice. I think we fall into the trap of, like, having the voice in the back of our head being like, you know, I've had this ever since growing up, because my mom was, has been in therapy my whole life, so I've been on the periphery of therapy my whole life, and I used to call it, like, the therapist voice in the back of my head, because it's like, I know you're mad, but you're really just projecting right now, and I'm like, fuck you, I want to feel my feelings! And I have that Polly voice, too.
Yeah.
That's just like, you know why you're jealous, right? And I'm like, fuck off! I'm just feeling it.
When I went to see Reed speak, he sort of started the whole talk by acknowledging that it's okay to feel jealousy, and it doesn't mean you're, like, quote, unevolved. Because I think in poly communities especially, there is, like, the pain of feeling jealous, and then there's this added pain on top of it, which is a shame of, like, I'm not supposed to be feeling jealous. If I was a good poly person, if I was a real poly person, I wouldn't feel jealous. Which just makes it worse and harder, because you feel like you can't talk about it. Sometimes you don't even want to acknowledge it to yourself. You're just, like, acting like you're just grumpy about nothing. You're like, I refuse to acknowledge what this is really about.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it's hard when you're surrounded by people who are, like, quote, naturally poly. People who, like, don't deal with a lot of jealousy and who this comes really naturally to them. Which is one of the ways that I feel that we are different in some ways, is that I feel like you describe yourself as, like, being poly, whereas I think of myself more as, like, doing poly or, like, pursuing poly relationships, because I don't know that I am naturally oriented towards poly as, like, my romantic orientation, because it is hard for me. It is a struggle. I have to, like, consciously choose to do it and remind myself all the time why I have chosen to do it and what I'm working towards. But I think that for me, I just remember that monogamy was really hard for me also, but in a way that felt more hopeless. Like, there was nothing I could do. I was just trapped, you know? Whereas poly, it's like, it's hard, but there's always things I can do. I can always, like, work on it and do self-reflection and talk to my partners and read stuff and just, like, try to get better. So I feel like they're both so hard for me, but I've chosen the one that is, like, more aligned with my values and that I want to work towards much more. So that's what I remind myself of when stuff is hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. For me, it, like, I would definitely, I'm not one of the people that's like, poly is my sexual orientation. I've been crunchy enough for this episode, but I'm turning into a poly hippie. But it's definitely, like, my relationship orientation. Like, I really do not think I could be monogamous, like, ever. And even growing up, like, jealousy, honestly, like, all of the jealousy storylines in every media ever never really made sense to me. Like, I was like, well, what's the issue here? I don't understand. Like, what's going on? And I do definitely feel more compersion than jealousy usually. And compersion being, like, the happy feeling when good things happen to your partners. And, like, I enjoy talking to partners about, like, who's your new crush? And I love, like, sharing stuff like that about me and whatever. But sometimes that does mean when I do get jealous, I get blindsided by it. And I'm like, what is this new feeling? I've never had this before. What do I do with it? Where should I put it?
Yeah, Reed Mihalka was talking about how, because for him jealousy is so uncommon, when he does experience it, he gets almost kind of sex nerdy about it, and he's like, oh my god, like, an opportunity to learn something new about myself and my relationship. And he sort of studies it and tries to figure out what triggered this particular piece of jealousy. Like, was it, like, feeling insecure in the relationship? Was it not feeling special enough to this person? Was it, like, a recent rejection in another area of your life that, like, brought up a lot of feelings in your relationship? So I really like that paradigm and that way of looking at it, because it reminds me that, like, jealousy, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can just be a thing. It can be, like, he describes it as, like, a dashboard light. Like, when a light comes on your dashboard and is like, hey, check out this thing. Check your engine, whatever. And you're just, like, you're not, like, angry at the dashboard light for existing. You're like, oh, thank you for alerting me to this problem, which I now need to address so that I don't run into a way bigger problem down the road. So I really like thinking of it that way, because then I'm like, if I'm feeling jealous, there's some kind of need in my relationship or in myself that's, like, not being addressed. So, like, maybe I need to do better self-care. Maybe I need to ask my partner for some accommodation that I don't feel that I'm getting. Maybe I need to spend some quality time with my partner. And it's just a reminder to, like, look for the problem and fix it, which usually you can do.
Yeah, I think that's really good. Although one thing I've realized since more actively doing poly lately, like, I wouldn't say I've been poly in theory for a while, because I have been doing, like, poly stuff for a couple years now, but I'm more deeply entrenched in it right now because I have a longer-term relationship right now that requires a little more attention. And one thing I've recently realized, especially with my Virgo self, is I very much approach it that way, and I'm like, okay, here is an issue, and I have to fix it. And then it's like, I've realized that sometimes a feeling doesn't always require an action. Like, sometimes the action is naming it and feeling it until it goes away. But I was always very much like, I feel a way, so something has to change. And, like, there isn't always, like, there are certain parts of my relationship where I'm like, that is an aspect of my relationship that is going to bring up some feelings every once in a while. And I'm going to feel those feelings when that happens. And that doesn't mean I have to change that thing. And that doesn't mean that thing is catastrophically bad.
Yeah.
It just means that I'm going to feel ways about it sometimes. So I think that was very important for me to realize, too, because a lot of poly dialogue is like, okay, you felt a way, so here are some options on how to fix it, here are some problems that it might be, as if, yeah, as if they're always dashboard lights, but, like, I know you don't drive, but I had a car for a few years, and sometimes the dashboard light just fucking turns on. Sometimes that bastard don't mean shit.
I always remember...
Sometimes it's just the light that's broken.
Yeah, it's true. That's a really good way of looking at it. I always remember this time last year when I was going through some, like, really hard, like, heartbreak, unrequited love stuff. And I kept saying to you, like, I'm so sad. I don't know what to do. Like, I felt like I needed to do something about it. It was just, like, this really uncomfortable feeling. And just, like, sitting with the feeling was very uncomfortable. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And you told me several times, because I needed to hear it several times, you were like, sometimes it's okay to just be sad. Like, you don't actually have to, like, fix it or, like, do anything. Just, like, be sad for a second. And I was like, oh, whoa, that's so weird that you could actually just be sad and not do anything. But it's true. And it reminds me of, like, with my anxiety, because anxiety is just, like, often a series of irrational fears that, like, are fears of things that exist in your head and have no basis in reality. I often have to remind myself with my anxiety, like, if you just fucking ignore this feeling and act like it doesn't exist, it will, for all intents and purposes, not exist, because it only exists in my head, right? So I'm just like, whatever, just gonna choose to ignore that, like, it's a broken dashboard light. And I'm kind of reminding myself of that with Polly as well, because it's like, often when my jealousy or fear or sadness feelings come up, it's like, I feel scared that my relationship is going to end, or that it's in danger, or that my partner doesn't like me, or doesn't like me as much as his other partners. And it's kind of like, okay, you can be scared of all those things, but also, like, none of those things are true. So it's literally just, like, a fear of a thing that's, like, not real. So, like, whatever, you can safely ignore it. You're fine. Like, keep driving down the highway with that dashboard light on. You're okay.
Yeah, and I think it's an, like, important note, though, that you do take a few seconds to, like, check the engine.
Yes.
Like, yes. You don't just, like, have the light pop on and be like, ah, there's no smoke pouring out. It's fine. We'll just shove that down over here. Like, which is also how I deal with my feelings sometimes. But that's not the healthy one, and that's not the one I'm going to recommend. So, in my professional sex educator voice, you definitely want to at least really look at it and like, acknowledge it and see, is it a broken light? Like, bring it to the mechanic, and when the mechanic goes, oh, your light's broken, you go, great, I'll fix that when I have money. Same idea, like, you want to actually take a look at it,
mm-hmm.
be like, so what is this? And if you can determine that it's like, oh, it's just a feeling I have to feel for a while, mm-hmm. like, that's cool, do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then when those feelings come up, I usually write in my journal or talk to a friend or listen to a funny podcast, like, do something else that's going to distract me. Because, like, one of the things I've learned in cognitive behavioral therapy is, like, sometimes you get stuck in, like, a negative, like, feedback loop of negative self-talk and worries and stuff. And before you can actually, like, address those, you have to, like, interrupt the thought cycle. So you, like, go do something else. You distract yourself. You do whatever it takes to get yourself out of that negative thought cycle for long enough that then you can, like, step back and, like, take a look at it and, like, assess it and, like, figure out, like, do I need to make some changes? Am I okay? Was that a feeling that, like, meant something, or will it pass? So, yeah, I've been listening to a lot of funny podcasts as, like, therapy while learning how to be poly.
Yeah, sometimes it's really helpful to just kind of distract yourself, mm-hmm. which is hard because a lot of the media I consume, because I'm a sex nerd, is, like, sex nerdy stuff.
Yeah.
So sometimes when I'm trying to distract myself, I'm like, oh, great, 3 poly Q&As and a poly textbook I can read. Fantastic. So glad. Just gonna, like, I'll be like, maybe I'll just read that book I was working on. Fuck, it's about poly stuff. Why don't I just listen to that podcast that, oh, it's Life on the Swing Set. Shit. I'm just gonna fucking watch Supernatural.
The other day I was, like, stressing because my partner had a date with someone else, and I was having, like, a weird, like, anxiety thing about it where I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I was like, maybe I'll, like, go do some work. Like, maybe working on a creative thing would, like, help me focus on something else. So I, like, open up my blog post drafts, and the first one in there was, like, 3 ways that poly dares me to be better. And I was like, I do not want to work on that right now.
Nope.
I don't want to be better. Fuck all of that. Fuck That and Fuck Yeah is our weekly segment where we tell you something we hate and something we love. What's your Fuck That this week?
My Fuck That is time. Like, I have 2 jobs and a podcast and a blog and education work and a long-distance partner and people I'm trying to date in New York and, like, I ain't... My Google Calendar is so full. And I just don't always have the time or the emotional resources or bandwidth to go on as many dates as I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it'll come around and I'll be like, I'm sorry, I worked 16 hours yesterday. I actually just need to sleep is what I need to do. So that's unfortunate. So that's a super bummer. And being poly is, like, logistically really time consuming.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of emotional energy that goes into it, and sometimes, like, when people talk about the struggles of poly, it's always like, you know, oh, jealousy and communication, and, like, fuck you, time.
Yeah.
What about you? What's your Fuck That?
So along similar lines, my Fuck That is feeling pressure to date other people, lots of people, because, like you said, I don't often have the time, the energy, the bandwidth, to do that. And it's just like when I'm single, it's like sometimes I'm really intensely wanting to date, and like I'm on Tinder like all the time, and I'm like dating and playing the numbers game and pursuing people. And other times I just don't care. Like I'm thinking about other things in my life, or I'm just busy, or I'm tired, or I'm depressed or sick. Like, it's the same now that I'm in a poly relationship. Just because I have the option to date other people doesn't mean that I have to. And sometimes I feel this weird internal pressure that I should be, like, pursuing other partners, which I'm sure comes from the fact that my partner does have other partners and I am not his primary because he doesn't do that. So I have this, like, weird anxiety of, like, well, he's very in demand, whatever that means. I should also be in demand, and I should also be seeing lots of people. And if I don't, then I'm, like, pathetic or undesirable or something. And I was talking to my therapist about this the other day, and she was like, well, you know that, like, you get to choose how you do poly, right? Like, that's kind of the whole thing, is, like, customizability of relationships, and, like, the way that other people do it does not have to be the way you do it, and you have to do what feels right for you. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, I had kind of lost sight of that. And it wouldn't be good if I was, like, trying to date other people right now, I think, because I would just be, like, distracted, and I would just be dating for the sake of dating, and, like, that never really works out that well for me. Like, my heart would not be in it, you know? So I'm kind of holding out until I feel more drawn to the idea of dating other people, which might take weeks or months or longer than that, and, like, that's okay, and, like, I don't need to feel bad about that. What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is that feeling you get when you successfully have a difficult conversation.
Ooh.
And you're just like, I am such a badass. I used all the words and I expressed my feelings and we both understood each other. Mm-hmm. And I feel so competent when I'm like, oh, wait, I am kind of good at this thing sometimes. And there's just something really satisfying about, like, really probing any complicated feelings you're having and finding the words to articulate it.
Yeah.
And realizing that, you know, your partner understands it and everything.
Yes.
It's just super satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I read back through the conversations me and my partner have, and I'm just like, God, we're so smart. we're so good at this. I'm not arrogant at all. It's fine.
I think it's good to congratulate yourself on that self and stuff like that, though, because it is really hard, and it's amazing when you have the skills and the willpower to, like, go through with a difficult conversation like that, and, like, good for you.
And to be clear, sometimes we're really bad at this. Like, it's not. But the times when we're really good at this is just, oh, it's like emotional porn. It's so satisfying. It's like, ooh, yeah, talk about your feelings. Yeah. What about you? What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is helpful resources about poly. These are so great.
Yes.
We're both sex nerds, so, like, part of what we do is, like, when we're learning about a new sex thing, we like to read a lot of stuff about it. I find it really helpful to read other people's experiences, because it helps me see different perspectives. So, like, I really like Reed Mahalko's stuff about jealousy, which we were talking about earlier. If you go to readaboutsex.com/jealousy, and Reed is spelled R-E-I-D, he's got a bunch of jealousy resources there. I'm also reading this book called Designer Relationships. There's this other book I like called Not Your Mother's Playground. And I'm in a group on Facebook, which is, like, a local community of poly people where folks have discussions about poly things that they're struggling with. And I've read some interesting stuff there about how people deal with jealousy and with meeting metamours and that kind of thing. And it's so helpful to know that other people have been through this thing before, because, like, when you are experiencing a problem, it's so easy to feel like, oh, I'm the only person who's ever been through this, and it's so hard, I'm never gonna get through it. But it's like, no, like, a lot of people have been through this thing before, and you can read about their experiences and learn things.
Yeah, totally. I've been listening to Life on the Swing Set for forever, and we actually had Cooper on the show a couple months back. He's so good. But Life on the Swing Set is really good, even though it started out as, like, a swinging podcast. It's definitely about, like, poly and all different types of open relationships and everything at this point. There's also another podcast on the Swing Set Network called Multiamory, which is really, really good. Mm-hmm. And I've been listening to that a lot lately. Opening Up by Tristan Taramino is, like, kind of the go-to, like, Bible of poly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good if you've never seen poly before, and it's good at describing all of the different ways poly can look, because poly, just like any other, like, marginalized group, you have one image of what it can be, mm-hmm. just like you have, like, culturally, there's one image of transness and one image of gayness, and, like, mm-hmm. if you don't fall into that image, sometimes it's hard to see yourself, so opening up is a really good way to be like, oh, I could be non-monogamous in these ways that you don't always see.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really helpful for that, but if you're an actively non-monogamous person, like, you already know this is a thing that you want to do, and you already kind of have an idea of what your relationship looks like and everything, More Than Two is fantastic, by Eve Rickert and Franklin Vo. And I had heard More Than Two was fantastic for a very long time, and then I read it, and I was like, oh my god, this is fantastic! But it's the best resource I've found that isn't poly 101. It's more like, so you're already in a poly relationship. This shit's hard, huh? Here's some ideas on how it could work. So it's more for dealing with the problems you have after 6 months, 8 months, a year in poly, rather than opening up and designer relationships and stuff, where I feel like it kind of addresses the becoming poly,
mm-hmm.
and then is like, you got this, go! So I found More Than Two really helpful for, like, dealing with the relation, what happens once you're in this relationship and mm-hmm. you've been in this relationship for a while and all the ways that can get complicated.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. I'll have to read that one. We have a listener question. Yeah.
Woo. Yeah. Hi there. A couple years ago, I was involved in a new poly relationship with my best friend and her boyfriend that only lasted about a month. Took on a bit of a pet role to them. I was also kept as their little girl as well, depending on the situation. After about a month of this going quite well for me, we all had a discussion about how they weren't quite getting what they both needed out of the relationship and need to focus on themselves as the primary. I absolutely understood, was fairly hurt, but the primary relationship comes first, so I was comfortable with stepping back. We remain close friends, but nothing romantic or sexual came from that again. Fast forward about 2 years and I'm happily monogamous, and they have brought a new, much younger, but that's beside the point, girl into their relationship, and I can't help but feel a little jealous. My feelings for these people are complicated, and I'm finding it difficult to spend time with this new triad because of my lingering jealousy. Help me realize that these feelings are irrational and just a side effect of my incredible lack of chill. You're both so wonderful. Thanks for having a hilarious, relatable, and educational podcast. Kay.
Aw, thank you. I would like to share a piece of wisdom that is so commonly spouted, and yet it is so helpful. You're often told when you have something difficult that you want to bring up, like a relationship conversation, that you shouldn't use blame language. So you shouldn't be like, you made me feel blah, 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 and like, you did this shitty thing, and that's terrible, and fuck you. Something that I find helpful is to be like, so, I'm feeling this way about this thing that happened. I was just wondering if you could, like, explain that a little. So I was thinking when I read this question that if I was in your situation, I would probably try to bring this up in, like, a fairly neutral and non-accusatory way and just be like, hey, I'm just curious, like, what made you guys decide to open it up and see this other girl? Like, how was that different from what we experienced together? Because for me, I think what would drive me up the wall about this situation was, like, not knowing why they were doing this with someone else and not me. And, like, granted, you said it's been, like, 2 years, so it's possible that they've, like, worked through some shit and, like, grown and decided to give it another try. It's possible that
Person said they're currently monogamous, too. So the person who wrote the letter is currently monogamous.
Oh, true.
So that's likely why they didn't approach this person, even if they had considered it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think, so the stuff that stood out the most to me in this letter was the way, you kind of dismiss a lot of your own feelings and, like, you sum it up and say, you know, help me realize that all my feelings are irrational, and this is just my fault for not having any chill, and, like, you talk about how when it initially happened, you were really hurt, but the primary comes first, so, like, you just backed off and whatever. And I get that in hierarchical relationships, the primary relationship is very important. That doesn't mean you don't get to have feelings. And yeah. That doesn't mean you don't get to feel ways about what happens. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're allowed to be hurt.
Yeah.
You don't have... That doesn't mean you're entitled to put that feeling on the other people. And, again, with, like, that blame language, it doesn't mean you get to be like, this is all your fault, how dare you, you have to keep dating me because my feelings are sad.
Mm-hmm.
However... you don't get to just write off your feelings just because you are the third in the triad.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it will be helpful for you to just take a step back and, like, look at these feelings and be like, oh, I do feel sad about these things for XYZ reasons, and that's okay. And like we talked about earlier, like, let yourself feel these feelings.
Mm-hmm. I don't think these feelings are irrational, for what it's worth. And, like,
yeah,
a lot of emotions we experience are quote-unquote irrational. That's kind of, like, the nature of emotions. But you can't always, like, logic yourself out of feelings, and I don't think it's helpful to try.
You don't, like, say.
The more that you, like, push something down, you're not dealing with it, you're not working through it, you're not addressing it. I always like to do a lot of journaling when feelings like this come up, but I also think it's helpful to discuss them with people when there are other people involved. But, like, either way, like, acknowledge your feelings are valid even if they are quote-unquote irrational. Like, that's fine.
Yeah, and the other thing we talked about earlier is you're able to recognize that you have a feeling and not do anything about it. Like, you say you're happily in a monogamous relationship, it's been 2 years. You maybe don't even want to be their little girl again. Mm-hmm. You know, that, like, take some time and be like, oh, am I feeling jealous because I really want this? Or am I feeling jealous because someone else took the toy out of the sandbox and now I want it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you been harboring this, like, pain and disappointment for the past 2 years and... now seeing someone else get it is just poking that wound and bringing all of that up.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing, and maybe you need to talk to them about that and evaluate where you're at in your relationship, and maybe you're not getting this, like, little pet type dynamic in your current relationship, so maybe that's where it's coming from, and, like, mm-hmm. you want to explore that with other people. Maybe not this couple, maybe someone different entirely, but, like, I think it can be helpful to really address, okay, I'm feeling this feeling. What is it? Where is that coming from? What is it I actually want? What would be the ideal scenario? Am I just feeling this because it's reminding me of the pain I felt in the past? Or is it something I'm still upset about and want to do something about?
Yeah, I wonder also if it has to do with your friendship with those people, and, like, maybe you miss the level of intimacy that you had when that stuff was going on, and maybe you can somewhat rectify that by, like, spending more time with them as friends and, like, working on your friendship. One thing that's really stuck with me that I've learned recently is usually jealousy is a sign that there's a need unmet somewhere, and there are usually a number of different ways that you can meet that need. So you can maybe deepen your friendship with these people, or maybe even deepen some of your other friendships. Maybe you need to get additional intimacy and closeness somewhere in your life, and maybe it's not super important where specifically that comes from.
Yeah.
Thank you for sending in that question. I hope that was helpful. If you have a question that you'd like us to answer on the show, our email address is thedildorks@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of our show. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. This week, feel free to tweet me your jealousy management strategies, because I am all about that shit right now. I am getting nerdy about jealousy and trying to learn all I can about what to do when I feel so jealous I want to cry. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. You can find me at BexTalkSex on Twitter and Instagram. All my writing is at BexTalkSex.com. This week, tweet me your favorite compersion stories. Like, all of the times you've been happy about your partner doing fun things with other partners, or all of just your cute poly stories.
Aww. Can I tell you a cute compersion story?
Yes, you can!
Okay, so you know my fave fuck buddy.
Uh-huh.
Who I had romantic feelings about for quite some time.
Did you now?
I did.
Interesting. Wow, I never knew.
He's super long distance. And at one point, I got a message from a long distance friend of mine who happened to be in the same town as my fuck buddy that particular evening. And they knew each other. She had a bit of a crush on him. And she was like, should I message him? I don't know what to do. And I was feeling particularly mentally stable this day. I don't think I would have done this if I was feeling depressed or anxious, because I would have had way more jealousy feels. But I was like, oh, you should totally message him. You should totally go for it. Bang him. Suck his dick. Great dick to suck. Please do
by
that.
By the way.
Yeah. So she did. And they ended up hooking up. And then the next day, they, like, sent me a selfie that they took together in bed, smiling, that aww, they had taken just for me. Which made me feel so good, because it made me feel like they were both, like, thinking of me and both just, like, wanted to remind me that they like me. And it made me aww, feel, like, included in their sexual interaction, which was just really lovely. And it was one of the only, like, true moments of, like, deep compersion that I have felt in my life. And I feel like I want to get back to that in the future.
Yeah, that's super cute.
Sorry to derail.
Now that we've derailed, yeah, the entire... Where were we? Together we are the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us at thedildorks.com. Search the Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. While you're there, rate and review us. It makes it easier for other people to find us, and it makes me smile when you talk about how great I am. If you want another way to support us, you can go to patreon.com/thedildorks. Throw a few bucks our way. Gets you access to live podcast recordings and all kinds of other cool stuff. Speaking of live podcast recordings, we're going to be doing a live recording at the Woodhull Sexual Freedom Summit. I'm so excited.
Me too.
We're going to be talking about all our favorite con survival strategies and the most interesting stuff that have happened to us at cons. By the way, there's a lot. So if you're going to be in D.C. the first weekend of August, come check us out. We're going to be recording Friday night.
Yep, and the website for that event is sexualfreedomsummit.org. Thank you so much to Protodome for letting us use his song I Want You in My Bedroom as our theme song. You can find all of his music at protodome.bandcamp.com, and you should listen to it because it's great. It makes me real happy in my ears. Thank you also to Amy Gardner for doing our art. You can find her at starboots_ on Twitter. And she is an amazing artist, and I'm so pleased every day with how she drew our beautiful faces.
It's so good.
Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
I pumped my lips.
Don't do that. That's the Kylie Jenner challenge.
Does the Kylie Jenner challenge actually involve a penis pump?
It involves a shot glass, but it uses suction to make your lips bigger, and a lot of kids, like, seriously injured their faces and or, like, ripped their lips off, and it's, like, really bad for you.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, so don't do that. I'm worried about you.
We got an electronic penis pump at work, and it was taken away from me forcefully, and because I got it stuck on my stomach and couldn't get it off. I was in the store 30 seconds, and I was like, oh, what's this? And then someone turned around, and I was like, I don't know where the release is. Help.